Satan uses people. He uses pleasure. He uses possessions to get us to worship him. Remember, Satan is the one behind the idol. And he uses all these things. We think that they are just regular things. But no, it's Satan behind the things that is, he'll do anything to get you to worship him. He'll do anything, amen. He wants to be like God, Isaiah 14:14. He wants to be like God, and so therefore what he does is he'll do anything to get you to worship him. And he is behind the idol, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. There's a demon behind the attraction to these idols. Amen, amen. But the truth of the matter is he'll do anything. He even tried to get Jesus to worship him. He took Jesus and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in Matthew 4, verse 8. And then he told him, all these will I give you if you just please fall down and worship me. Please. Satan is... He's lost his position in heaven, and he's highly upset. And he says, please, if you just fall down and worship me, please, Jesus, please, I want somebody to worship me. Satan will do anything, and he is the god of this world, amen, who tries to get others to worship him. And the prince of the power of the air in John 12:31, what is he doing? He's behind it all. Ultimately, if he can, he steals our worship of God through getting us to worship something else. It doesn't have to be a statue or a stone. It can be things that we have. Satan steals God's worship by getting us to commit idolatry. All of the things that he put us through, and then we begin to call evil good. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 5:20. He says, God, he says that there'll be a time when people will call evil good and good evil. They'll call darkness light and light darkness. They'll call bitter sweet and they'll call sweet bitter. And Isaiah 5:21 tells us that they will become wise in their own eyes, and they will be prudent in their own sight. They think they're being smart when they change the rules, when they turn things around. They think that they're being smart when they call evil good and good evil and darkness light and light darkness and, amen, bittersweet and sweet bitter. They are wise in their own eyes. They are prudent in their own sight. But God makes it plain that, look, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. You shall not have no other gods before me. And so we need to reflect on what we are doing, because, amen, as we think about Memorial Day, amen, is this really what people died for? Because you have to understand, God is not going to allow you to have anything, or he's not going to approve anything that's going to kill you. You can forget about it. God is not going to approve anything. If your lifestyle brings death, if your habits brings death, if guns brings death, if whatever you're doing brings death, if rights brings death, God is not going to let you have it. He loves us too much. He's a God of love, and as parents, we know that no matter what kids want, if it's going to hurt them, we're not going to give it to them. God is a God of love, and he does not want us to. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this is not what the men and women died for. Why would they die so that we could go kill ourselves? That doesn't make any sense. Giving us freedom to go be so free to where we kill ourselves. This is not honoring the death of those who died. Amen. As we look back on those men and women who gave their lives. Well, what must we do? Well, we must refocus. We must refocus and we must make the necessary corrections for the future. Amen. Many things in life that goes wrong almost make it difficult for you to even keep going. But the truth is that we must focus on the future. And we can't change the past. Amen. But we can do something about the future. And what can we do? Well, we need to be able to pray to God. Amen. There ought to be a pandemic prayer, I think, on the news every morning. The first thing before the news gets started, coming from the White House. A prayer where we stretch our hands to God and we ask for God's mercy. Because he said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This is the kind of God that we serve, a God that will forgive, a God that will heal, a God that wants to forgive. And he says, no matter how bad you messed up, if you are repentant and you want forgiveness, if you just pray. But if I regard, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66:18, God will not hear me. Amen. So we must refocus and make the necessary corrections in order to get ourselves under what? The protection of God. The protection of God. As I, try to speak this up, the truth is that we want God's protection. Why we want God's protection? Because in the Bible, when plagues came, when epidemics came, when pandemics came, amen, as God battled it out with the gods of Egypt, we find out that it didn't hurt the children of Israel. Amen. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 10, verse 23, if we start at verse 21 in Exodus chapter 10, you'll see that God told Moses, I want you to stretch your hand out toward heaven, and I want you to make it so dark you can feel it. I want it to be that dark, Moses. There was God's judging their sun gods. If you believe in these gods, then you need to understand that I'm more powerful. That's another sermon. But the truth is that he says, stretch out your hand, Moses. Verse 22 tells us of Exodus chapter 10. It tells us that he tells us how he did this. How did he do it? He said he made the darkness thick. The darkness was so thick for 3 days. They walked around. They couldn't even see each other. It was that dark. It was, I guess, what we would call pitch dark. It was so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face for 3 days. All this, amen, speaks of Jesus, but all this, it's a whole nother sermon than all these things. But the truth is that he says, but what did the Bible say in verse 23 of chapter 10 of Exodus? It says, but in the land of Egypt, the children of Israel had light in all their dwellings. They had light while Egypt had darkness. How did God do that? God says, since you are my covenant people and you're walking in a way that's pleasing unto me, what happens to others won't happen to you. What do you find out? Well, you find out that in chapter 11, verse 7, we find out that God told Moses that the firstborn of everyone going to die on that 10th plague, the firstborn of everyone is going to die. Amen. The firstborn animal, the firstborn of every male, animal or man, are going to die. But he tells us in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7, it tells us, but when it came to the children of Israel, not even a dog will move his tongue when it comes to the children of Israel. Amen. God says, why? So that you will know that I put a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. God says, I put a difference. You said, well, does that mean that if we serve God, we would not die at all? We've had innocent people to die? I'm only telling you what the Bible says. And God can take everything and work it out for good. But the truth of the matter is that God says that He will put a difference between us and what goes on in the world. If we are one nation under God and we are honoring that, God will put a difference between us. And you say, well, but what you got to understand is that our commitment to God and our love for God has to be one that does not care about the results. See, my goal, I'm not, you see, you can make yourself a God. I'm not going to say I'll serve God if you keep me safe. No, I'm going to serve God even if he doesn't keep me safe. Amen. It's not about what goes on. It's up to God about what goes on in the world. I'm going to serve God regardless. That's how you know that you really where you ought to be. It's when you are not even an idol. Amen. I don't serve God based on him, amen, giving me things and keeping me healthy and protecting me. You got to get to the point to where I'm serving God, period, that come what may from day to day. Yes, he said he will protect those who are his, but I'm not going to worry about it. That can't be my motive for serving him. Well, you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king told them, amen, the king told them, he told them in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18, amen. He said, look, if y'all don't bow down, I have set up this image. It's a golden image. And if y'all must bow down to this image. And basically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told them, they were there in Babylon in the Mesopotamian area. He told them that, king, I want you to understand something. Now, I want to make something explicitly clear. And I want to make it clear, as my mama would say, as a nose on your face. And that is that we will not bow down to your golden image. And now God has the power to deliver us. He is able. I think that's in verse 13. He is able to deliver us. But I want you to know that he is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't deliver us, amen, I want you to know that we are not going to bow down. Whether he's got the power to save us, and if he does, he can, but if he doesn't, it doesn't change anything. We will not worship your gods. We only worship God Almighty. And the Bible says in verse 19 that the king was furious. He was mad, and he said, look, heat the furnace. I want you to heat it seven times hotter for these guys. I'll teach them a lesson. I'll teach them a lesson. And next thing you know, in verse 25 of Daniel chapter 3, you find out that the king looked in, amen, and they put three in, but we find out that there were four in the furnace. Four people in the furnace. And the king had to, amen, no doubt, wipe his eyes and take another look at it and say, didn't I put three in the furnace? He said, but now I see four in the furnace. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. They were obedient, and God had gotten in the furnace and protected them. I don't know how, amen, the laws of nature can be rebuked, but God made the laws, and so he has control over it. Amen. It doesn't mean that we don't know what happened to our loved ones, but the truth of the matter is that God was with them and protected them on whatever they were dealing with. And basically what happened is they ended up being promoted in verse 30. Daniel chapter 3, verse 30. The king had sent out a decree in verse 29. He says, I want all the world to know. Let everybody know that do not, amen, disrespect these men's, these kids' gods, these three Hebrew boys who were thrown. Do not disrespect them. If you do, you'll be torn from limb, and your house will become a dunghill, your pile of rubbish, if you disrespect these three men. Because, you see, there was a time when the church and the people of God, through serving him, brought respect from the world. But now they don't really even care about the world. Amen. God made it plain that that the world has no respect now for the church. Well, thou shalt not have no other gods before men. We must make necessary corrections in order to be where God wants us to be. And in life, it does not matter. We're serving God because we're serving God. It doesn't matter what happened. He's in charge of the pandemic. He's in charge of all these things. But even if he doesn't deliver me, then I'm still going to serve him. We got to just be like Esther. Esther, some things you got to die for. You be willing to die for. He said, if I perish, I perish. But the truth of the matter is that I'm going to serve the Lord. I've got to be like Daniel. He says, you can throw me in the den if you want to, but I have an unbending allegiance to Almighty God. And it doesn't matter what you do, I am going to serve God. You can put me in a den of lions. And I know I'm going in a den of lions, but it makes no difference. There's an unswerving allegiance to God that we must have. Amen. If we are not going to commit idolatry, we can make America out of an idol. We can make ourselves out of an idol. We can make people out of idols. We can make pleasure out of idols. We can make possessions out of idols. We can make things out of idols, and we can put those things before God. But I'm so glad to know that Jesus didn't make even himself out of an idol. It cost him his life, but he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to make the sacrifice. And he laid down his life. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup. But if you're not going to take the cup, it does not matter. We got to get to the point. We got to get to the point to where there are no idols. We got idols here, idol here, idol there, everywhere, idol, idol. Too many idols. That's why God, amen, you said it's not, amen, we does this message apply today? Can you commit idolatry? Yes, you can commit idolatry. That's why we can't really get a lot done in the church. That's why people are unavailable. That's why 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's why under 10% tithe, because we have idolized. We've idolized materialism. We've idolized. Even the church, we've idolized money. We've idolized vehicles and homes and grass and position and people. And we have idolized it to the point to where, amen, we can't get much done for the Lord. God is calling us. He is telling us that there must be no idols. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. No, you can't have no other gods. No other gods allowed. I don't want any in your life. I don't want any in America. I don't want no other gods. You need to make it plain. No other gods. No other gods. Person, places, or thing. No other gods. You see, this commandment is at the top of the list. How many of y'all know? When my mother sent me to the store with a list, whatever was at the top, she put the most important thing. If you don't get nothing else, number one is this. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other god. Idolatry is the worst sin, because there are no other gods. So why would you try to make another god when God says, besides me, there are no gods? There's only one God. Nobody was made before me. Nobody was made after me. There was no, amen. I was, amen. I am, and I, amen. I always shall be. I always was, I always am, and I always shall be. God said there really isn't any other gods. So why would you go make one out of something that I made? Because I'm self-existent. And since I'm self-existent, amen, I made the things that exist. I am the self-existent one. I am the sovereign one. I am the one who has supreme. I am supreme. I have unlimited power. Amen. Nobody really qualifies to be God but me. So you need to make sure that nothing, as I close, nothing comes before me. Well, as I try to close, what I want us to understand is that Paul one day was in Athens. We find him in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 23. And then in verse 22, he talked to these Athenians. And then in verse 23, he says, you know, I've been walking around your city here, you Greek philosophers. And I noticed that y'all are very superstitious. That means y'all are very religious. And I noticed you got all of these gods around. I noticed that. Amen. But then here's one God that you got that says to the unknown God. And I'd like to tell you who that is. You see, the Athenians had made, they were up on these gods, so they want to make sure they gave tribute to all gods. And just in case they left any gods out, they were so important, they thought it was so important to acknowledge gods, they put a statue up that said, now this one is to the unknown God. And Paul said, now, I'd like to tell you who that is. I really would like to tell you who that is. Verse 24 of chapter 17, he said, he's the one that made the earth and everything in it. He is the one that made the earth and everything in it. In verse 28, he is the one that made people. Amen. He made the people. Amen. And he said that, matter of fact, in him we live and move and have our existence or our being. Amen. He made us. He made us. He says, that's the God that you're talking about. That's the unknown God. He's the one that made everything. And he has commanded a period, and he's commanded men in verse 30 everywhere to repent. He has commanded men to repent. In verse 31, why? Because he's established a day when he's going to judge the world by that man who he has raised from the dead. And he's talking about Jesus. He said, I need to tell you about this God. You need to accept him because he is the true and the living God. Yes, he is the living God. Amen. He is the one that is alive. Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now for your word, and we thank you for being the only God in existence. And we acknowledge you right now, and we praise you. We magnify you. We apologize, oh God, for worshiping things you made, not realizing that the things that you made should never come more important than the Creator himself. And we acknowledge you, Lord. And we know that we will answer to you one day. So we ask that you would, yes, please do bless America. Help us get back. Help us to review what you said, and help us to reflect on what we're doing, and help us to refocus and make necessary corrections in a way that you can honor, in a way that we can honor you so that we can be under your protection. And there's somebody that don't know you in the departing of their sins. All they need to do is say, yes, I believe. If you believe that Jesus died and rose, yes, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to be a Christian. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.